الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، in our previous class, we were discussing the legislative definition of البيع, of buying and selling, making business transactions. We have seen that the people of knowledge, they mentioned that البيع شرعاً is مبادلة مال ولو في ذمة أو منفعة مباحة بمثل أحدهما على التأبيد غير ربا وقرض غير ربا وقرض مبادلة مال, it's the exchange of wealth, ولو في ذمة, even if it's a type of debt or a financial obligation, أو منفعة مباحة, or the exchange of a permissible benefit, and it will either be the exchange of wealth or the exchange of a permissible benefit, بمثل أحدهما, one for the likes of the other, one for the likes of the other, على التأبيد, meaning that it's a contract that is unlimited, it has no time period set, غير ربا, and it's not ربا, nor قرض, وقرض, and it's not a loan, it's not a loan. We have seen in our previous class some details with regards to this definition. Repeat it again, مبادلة مال ولو في ذمة أو منفعة مباحة بمثل أحدهما على التأبيد غير ربا وقرض غير ربا وقرض. And we've seen in the previous class that المال, المال, what is intended from the word مال, which we translate to mean money, or can be translated to mean wealth, it means every item that is permissible to benefit from. العين المنتفع بها, العين المنتفع بها, that is the item or the asset that is benefited from, and so long as it's lawful, it's considered wealth properly, whether if it's dollars or some type of currency, or whether if it's an item like a phone or a book, all of this is considered wealth, property and the likes like this that has value, all of this is considered here in the word al-mal, in the word al-mal. So mubadalatu malin, it's the exchange of wealth, walau fi dhimma, ولو في الذمة, even if it's a financial obligation that a person he accepts and agrees to, like a debt, for example. But we've seen that the statement ولو في الذمة, even if it's in the ذمة of a person, meaning in his right, an obligation that he bears and he agrees to, what is intended from that, المقصود أن يكون المال غير معين غير محدد العين, يعني غير محدد العين. So ولو في ذمة, meaning that the wealth is not specific wealth. The wealth is not something specific that is has been specified. يعني it's not an item that has been specified. It's not an item that has been specified specifically right in front of you. Rather, maybe it's absent, but it has a description. ولكنه موصوف بوصف يرفع عنه الجهالة. But it's described in a description. It's a describe with the proper description that removes any ambiguity or anything that would be uncertain with regards to. And it would be described in a manner that is clear, fitting the description of that thing had it been present. Also, any of this would be by weighing it, for example, by weighing it or by measuring it or by setting the date or the period, so on and so forth in the transaction. These affairs, they must be clarified and known if the item is not present or available for a person to look at himself. And likewise, the wealth, يعني ولو في ذمة, يعني ما يكون موصوفا أو محددا القدر لكنه غير محدد العين. What is intended from this here? The exchange of wealth, even if it's in the ذمة of a person, meaning that the wealth that's being exchanged is described. It's something that is described, even if it's not present, or it's something that its amount is established, even if it's not specific. And we've seen the examples of that. Somebody, for example, maybe he will say, I'll sell you this phone. And so this is madu mu'ayyan. This phone here in my hand, you can see it. You can look at it. You can check it out. You can see all of the affairs about it. You can look into it and see its model. And you can ask about how old it is, so on and so forth. And I can give you all of the information about it, and you can look at it and verify it. It's a specific item that is for sale, that you see it. A specific item for sale that you see it. But maybe someone, he has a phone that's not here. Maybe it's in his house. Maybe it's in his car. Maybe it's in another state. It's in his property. He owns it, but it's not here. So he'll describe it for you. And he'll clarify the description of that phone or of that item that's for sale as if you see it. And if you accept that description and you want to purchase it based upon that, you can. And the contract will be placed and that a person, he will give the money and he will accept that item, and the time period for the item to be handed will be also clarified and mentioned and agreed upon in the contract. So this is walaw fi dhimma, but also what it means from law fi dhimma, and even if it's in the right of a person, even if it's a financial obligation upon a person, and this is in reference to like debt or an item that's not present, also with regards to items that are not specified. The actual item itself is not specified, but the amount is clarified and known. Like $10. I'll sell you this book for $10. So $10 is $10. The amount is clarified. Muhaddad al-qadr. But what the actual reality of that specific $10 is not known. It's not known. Is somebody going to give a $10 bill, or if he's going to give a $20 bill and ask for change, or if he's going to give 2 fives, or if he's going to give 10 ones, or 5 ones and a five. So the actual item that is being exchanged is not known specifically. It's not known specifically, but the amount is clarified and known. All of this is considered madun fi dhimma. This is in the understanding of this definition. Mubadalatu madin walaw fi dhimma. Yani walaw kana al-malu fi dhimma. وَلَوْ كَانَ الْمَالُ فِي الذِّمَّةِ. It's exchange of wealth, even if the wealth was like this, in this manner. Something that's not there, but it's clarified and described properly and clearly. Or if it's something that's not specific, but the amount is well known. Like $10, for example. So all of this is included here. أَوْ مَنْفَعَ مُبَاحَ. Or the exchange of a permissible benefit. We've seen the example of that. Someone who purchases the benefit of passing through someone's property. He's not purchasing that property. That property does not belong to him. It belongs to his neighbor. He simply wants to have the right to pass through that property. So he'll purchase that. He'll purchase that from his neighbor. And that right will belong to him forever. It's not renting it. He's not purchasing it for a month. He's not purchasing it for 6 months. He's buying that. He's buying that right to pass through this specific portion of his neighbor's property. So he's not allowed to do anything to that property, to change it in any way, or to update it in any way, or to do anything he likes to it. He's not allowed to do that. He's simply allowed to pass freely through that property whenever he likes. So he's not buying the property. He's not buying the walkway. He's purchasing the benefit of passing through the property. And if this contract was at a ta'bid, any forever, and it was a contract that's not limited, and he would purchase that right that has no limit, then it would be considered bay'. Legislatively in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It would be considered bay' legislatively. وَلَوْ مَنْفَعَ مُبَاحَ بِمِثْلِ أَحَدِهِمَا. For the likes of one of them. So we've seen that which will be exchanged is مَارٌ مُعَيَّن أو مَارٌ فِي الذِّمَّةِ أو مَنْفَعَ مُبَاحَ. The things that will be exchanged, مَالٌ مُعَيَّن, a specific type of wealth that is known, a specific type of wealth that is known, or مَالٌ فِي الذِّمَّةِ, this type of wealth is not specifically known here. Maybe it's not present, it's absent, but its description is known. Maybe that wealth is not specified, that wealth itself is not specified, but the amount is known. Like $10, the $10. So that which is being exchanged is not specified, but the amount is agreed upon and known. It's $10. So $10 comes in many different forms. We understand this point. So that's not specific wealth. It's not like saying, I'll sell you this phone for that book, or I'll sell you this book for that pen. Here's a book that you see it, and a pen that you see it, a phone that you see it. This is called madun mu'ayyan. This is a specific type of wealth. It's not confused with something else. This phone and this bottle of water and this notepad, this is mal mu'ayyan. This is specific type of wealth, specific items that's not confused with other things. So this one is considered specific. As for $10, for example, it's not specific. Maybe it's 10 ones, maybe it's 2 fives. It's different. The thing that's going to take exchange, what's going to go from one hand to the other, is different. Maybe he's going to give him 2 $5 bills. Maybe he's going to give him 10 $1 bills. So that which is exchanged is not specifically set, although the amount is set and known. So whether somebody gave him $10, a $10 bill, or whether he gave him 2 fives, or whether he gave him 5 ones, in the end he gave him $10. And that was the price.
And that was the price for the item that he's buying. So he has the right. It's fi dhimmatihi. What he has to do is bring that amount. Whether he brings a $10 bill, or whether he brings 2 fives, or whether he brings 10 ones, or whether he brings 5 ones and, a five, or whether he brings more than that, maybe he just has 100, and then he'll get change back. The point is that what is being exchanged is not something specifically known, that item itself, but the amount is known and agreed upon. This is called madun fi dhimma. So the exchange will happen with madun mu'ayyan, or madun fi dhimma, or manfa'a mubaha, a permissible benefit. This is the third affair. Either some specific type of wealth, or some wealth that's agreed upon and known. The amount, or wealth that's financial obligation like a debt, this is also considered wealth. Or manfa'a mubaha, or a permissible benefit. This is what the contract will be based upon. And this is what will be exchanged. بِمِثْلِ أَحَدِهِمَا مُبَادَلَةُ مَالٍ وَلَوْ فِي ذِمَّةٍ أَوْ مَنْفَعَ مُبَاحَ بِمِثْلِ أَحَدِهِمَا. Anyone for the other. So somebody who could sell a phone for $100, or could sell a phone for the permission, for the right to pass through the yard, for example. And he can buy it with this, or he can sell the phone for a book, for example. I'll sell you this phone for this book, for example. Maybe the book is valuable. So on and so forth. So he can sell the specific wealth for specific wealth, or the specific wealth for a debt. For a Dane, so I'll sell you this phone for $100, you pay me next week. Or I'll sell you this phone for $100, he says, yes, I have it, but I'll bring it to you next week. Or it's at my house, for example. This is all allowed. I'll sell it to you for $100. Say, okay. Okay, so now it's upon that person to bring $100. However he brings it, $100 bill, $250, it's on him. Alhamdulillah. Or for a benefit that he can purchase. So the contract will happen with these three things. This is the meaning of بِمِثْلِ أَحَدِهِمَا. This is the meaning of بِمِثْلِ أَحَدِهِمَا. عَلَى التَّأْبِيدِ. عَلَى التَّأْبِيدِ meaning the contract, it must be عَلَى التَّأْبِيدِ. التَّأْبِيدِ means forever. This means forever, meaning that the contract of exchange, that the one item or one asset or this mal, this wealth, whatever it may be, is going to exchange unlimited. It's going to go into the hands of the other. Unlimited. Any unlimited meaning that there's no time set. He will own it forever. This is his, and he will own it forever, not for a specific time. Because had it been set for a specific time, it would not be considered bay'. Now it would be considered ijara. Ijara is renting. So in the legislation, there's a difference between business and commerce and renting. The rulings are different and they're not the same. So renting is not bay'. Ijara is not bay'. So they mentioned this restriction here in this definition to exclude renting. عَلَى التَّأْبِيدِ. That the contract, it must be عَلَى التَّأْبِيدِ. Any, without any term appointed, meaning forever. Forever. غَيْرِ رِيبَ. غَيْرِ رِيبَ. It's not riba. It's not interest. It's not riba. Because this is a type of transaction, and it may seem, it may fit the definition in some aspects, or seem to fit the definition, but it's not. It's not considered buying and selling. It's not considered business. وَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ مِثْلُ الرِّبَى. That's because they said, the people of Jahiliyyah, they claim that البيع is like الرِّبَى. وَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. And Allah, He has allowed بيع and He has forbidden الرِّبَى. So they're different. They're not the same. The people in Jahiliyyah, they claim that they're same. But Allah, He clarified that they're not the same. That He has allowed the buying and selling, and business is permissible. But as for riba, then it's haram and impermissible. So these are two different things. Although maybe it seems similar in some aspects, legislatively, they're not the same. وَقَرْضِ يَنِي وَغَيْرِ قَرْضِ. And then not alone, likewise. So alone as well, maybe it has a similar resemblance to buying and selling, but in reality it's not buying and selling, and it's excluded from the definition. Because in buying and selling, what is intended from that is to make profit. People, they go into business to make profit. And also people go buy and sell to make an exchange of items. One person, he wants one thing, and another, he wants another. So there's an exchange, there's mu'awadah, and also there's ribih. This is the original intention for buying and selling. Somebody's trying to make a profit. Somebody's trying to make a profit. And also there's a person looking for something in exchange. He's looking for something in exchange. One person, for example, he's looking for dollars, and another person, he's looking for an item. Another person is looking for an item. One person is looking for a phone. Another person is looking for dollars. He has lots of phones. He doesn't want the phones. He has the phones because he wants to make money. Another person, he has money. He doesn't want the money. He doesn't need the money. He needs the phone. So then he'll go to the person who sells the phone and give him the money for the phone, and he'll take the phone. This is what he needs. So one person is looking for the profit, for the ribah, and the other person is looking for the item in exchange. This is the foundation or the fundamental principle with regards to buying and selling. As for qard, al-qard, this is a loan. And what is intended from that is al-irfaqu wal-ihsan, to be kind to the people and to help them. Al-irfaqu wal-ihsan wal-musa'ada, to help the people, to do good to the people, to do a favor for the people, to help them in times of difficulty, to be kind to the people. This is what is intended from a loan. So a person who will give another person a loan, not in order to make profit, or not looking for any other exchange from that individual, but rather it's an act of kindness for him and seeking the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore giving loans is not buying and selling. Likewise, when a person, he gives a loan, if he loans somebody $100, then that person, he will repay him that $100. So there's no profit there. And there's no real exchange, although maybe he will give him $100 and he will spend the $100 and he will not repay that same $100, but the amount will be returned, because $100 is madun fi adhimma, So the actual item itself, the ayin itself, is gone. He spent it, but the amount is known. So in any case, he's going to return that which he had taken. That which he had taken without any increase. If there's increase, we'll find out in this now that there is that this is considered riba, or if there's any other benefit whatsoever in the loan. So it's very important now in this chapter of al-buyur to understand this definition, the legislative definition, mubadalatu malin walau fi dhimma aw manfa'atin mubaha bi mithli ahadihima ala at-ta'bid ghayri riba wa qard. This is the definition of the affair that we're discussing, of the issue that we're discussing in the chapter of al-buyu' and the chapter of buying and selling in business transactions. So the rulings that we're going to discuss, they're going to be applied to this definition, and that which is in accordance with this definition will be considered buying and selling legislatively, and it may be considered lawful. And that which is in contradiction to this, then it's going to be from those transactions that are forbidden and impermissible. So the fundamental principle with regards to buying and selling, annahu mubah, that it is lawful. So here the principle that we're discussing, the qaida, it says, Al-aslu fil bay'i al-ibaha. The fundamental principle with regards to buying and selling is that it is lawful and permissible. That it is allowed. So the people of knowledge, they mention here with regards to this, you know, the word asl has a number of meanings. The word al-asl, it has a number of meanings. Linguistically, it means يعني ما يبنى عليه غيره. يعني أساس الشيء الذي يبنى عليه ويرجع إليه. The fundamental of something, the base of something, that thing is based upon and returns back to. This is called the asl. The foundation, the base of something that thing proceeds from and it returns back to. Like the asl of a tree is the trunk. So the stems and the limbs and the leaves and the fruits, they all stem and grow from the trunk, and they return back to the trunk. So this is the asl. So likewise in masail, ilmiya, in the issues, the knowledge-based issues in the religion, there's a foundation, there's a base that these issues proceed from, the understanding. And the people of knowledge, as they mention, فَهَمُ الْمَسْأَلَةِ فَرْعٌ أَن تَسَوُّرِهَا. To understand the issue, the religious issue that one is discussing, is stemming from being able to visualize it, to picture it. So sometimes you will not be able to understand the ruling of a particular issue until you visualize the topic and the subject property. So you visualize the topic and the subject property. So here we're discussing the mas'ala is al-aslu fil bay'i al-ibaha. The original principle with regards to buying and selling is that it is lawful, that it is allowed, that it is permissible. So the word al-asl, again, it has a number of meanings. From them is al-qa'idah al-mustamirra. Al-qa'idah al-mustamirra. Any a principle, a continuous principle. Any a fundamental principle that is continuous. Meaning that if something is considered the asl, you don't have to ask. You don't have to ask so long as it's in accordance with that asl. So the origin, for example, to understand the origin, the asl, with regards to buying and selling is lawful. So then you can buy and sell as you like. You can buy and sell as you like. You don't have to stop. If somebody can't say, oh, you want to sell water? No, you can't sell water. That's haram. He said, what do you mean it's haram? The origin is that buying and selling is halal. So somebody who says that selling water or anything else is haram, they have to bring a proof. They have to bring a proof why it's haram. Because the fundamental principle is that it's lawful. It's allowed. So a person will hold fast to that principle. That buying and selling is allowed. So the origin is that you can buy and sell as you like with no limits. Except in that which is clarified in the legislation. Except in that which is clarified or forbidden in the legislation. So a person who wants to buy and sell, the origin is that's lawful. Similar like that, the affairs of the worldly life. And this is from the same aspect because buying and selling is from the affairs of the worldly life. Buying and selling is from the issues of al-adat. The actions of the people are two aspects. The actions of the people are two types. We look at them from two aspects. We have adat and we have ibadat. We have adat and we have ibadat. Adat are the customs and the everyday affairs that a person he will do. The customs and the everyday affairs that a person he will do. And then we have ibadat. They're the actions of worship. They're the actions of worship. So the customs and everyday affairs that a person he will do, the origin is that they're lawful. The origin is that they're lawful. Wearing clothes is from the ibadat or from the adat? It's from the adat. So you can wear whatever you like. Although the legislation does has limits and restrictions there. But in general, you can wear whatever you like. You can wear whatever you like. As for the men, then there's specific... There's specific rulings. For example, the lower garment can't go below the ankles, for example. But other than that, you can wear whatever you like. Or you can be something imitating the kuffar specifically, or the wicked and evil people specifically. Or it can be super tight. It can be extremely tight where it's exposing the aura, or short, exposing the aura. But other than that, you can wear whatever you like. You can wear whatever you like. So it's open. It's from the adat. It's permissible. Likewise, food and drink. You can eat whatever you like, except for where there has come specific evidence is clarifying that this one specific type of food is not lawful. This one specific type of food is not lawful. So likewise with the clothing and the drink and the rest of the affairs of the worldly life, the origin is that it's lawful and permissible. The origin is that it's lawful and permissible. So from that is al-bay'. So the origin with regards to buying and selling is that it's lawful and permissible. So this is a benefit here. A person is allowed to buy and sell as he likes, just like he's allowed to eat and drink as he likes, and he's allowed to put on the clothing and wear what he likes. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. This is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, the one who understands the asl of the issue. Here, the asl that we're discussing is about buying and selling and that it is permissible. So a person, he will hold fast to that, and he is not required to bring any proof. Rather, the one who is in opposition to the asl, he is the one who has to bring the proof. So if you're buying and selling something, and then somebody says, no, you can't sell that. You can't sell that. That's not allowed. That's not allowed. And then you tell him it's allowed. And he says, bring me a proof. What do you tell him? You bring the proof. That's right. You're gonna tell you don't have to bring the proof because you're upon the fundamental principle. The fundamental principle is that it's lawful to buy and sell as you like. So the one who says that you can't buy or sell something, he has to bring the proof, not you. Not you. So this is a great benefit. So you're the one holding fast to the fundamental principle. The fundamental principle is that buying and selling is lawful. So anyone who says that there's an act of buying and selling that is not lawful, that there's a transaction that is not lawful, then he has to bring the proof to clarify that. So if he doesn't bring the proof, then we hold fast to the principle that we know and we buy and sell as we like. And if he brings a proof, then we take a look into his evidence. And if he's correct, then we refrain from that transaction. then we refrain from that transaction because now he brought a proof clarifying that this particular transaction is not lawful. But if he brought the proof and then we looked into it and the proof was not authentic or it was not in line with the issue, he had a misunderstanding and applying the proof in the wrong manner, not lining up with the issue that he's trying to use the evidence for, then we would also still hold fast to the asl. So this is with regards to the adat. And from the adat is al-bay' wa shira. So with regards to the adat, the customs and the everyday affairs, this is that is lawful, that is opened. That is open and allowed for you to do as you like, alhamdulillah, without restrictions, except where there's an evidence clarifying that this particular adat, this particular custom or worldly affair is not lawful. It's not lawful. So the adat means custom or everyday action. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the adat, he ma kana maksuduha, al-a'zam dunyawiyya. Ma kana maslatuha al-uthma dunyawiyya. The ada is that the great benefit and the intent from that is a worldly affair. Is a worldly affair. So what's the intent from wearing clothing? The hereafter or the dunya? The benefit from that is in the worldly life, right? And a person, he's wearing clothing, this is from the worldly life. A person, he's eating food, what is the intent from that? The hereafter, the main aim from eating food and drinking and the likes like this, is related to this life or to the hereafter? Related to this life. So whatever the issue is, if it's something that the main goal of that thing and the main purpose of that thing and the greatest benefit of that thing is related to the worldly life, then this is from the customs. But as for something that the maslaha al-udhma fihi ukhrawiyya, the main benefit and the wal-maqsad al-maqsud al-a'zam al-thawab in the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest intent from that thing is the reward with Allah Azza wa Jal, or the greatest benefit of that issue is in the hereafter, then this is considered ibadah. This is considered ibadah, action of worship. So maybe a person who performs an action of worship and gets some worldly benefit. But that's not the goal and the aim. That's not the goal and the aim. Maybe somebody who will do some lawful things likewise and he will have a reward in the hereafter. But the main intent from those things is that it's for the worldly life. So this is the difference between the adah and the ibadah. Understand? The difference between the adah and the ibadah. We don't want to mix these things up. Rather, we want to use this knowledge to our advantage. To our advantage, to draw us near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to stay safe from His anger. Tabaraka wa ta'ala. So the adah, the custom, this is from the lawful things in this life, from the worldly affairs, from the customs and the ways of the people. A person, he's allowed to do whatever he likes, it's open and it's lawful. And the only aspects that are forbidden from that is that which there's a clear text clarifying that. Is that which there's a clear text or evidence clarifying that it's not lawful. That it's not lawful. Allah, He says, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. It is He, meaning Allah, who has created for you everything in the earth. So this is an indication that everything in the earth that's beneficial has been created for us to benefit from, and therefore it's lawful. وَحَلَّ لَكُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. And Allah has made lawful for you الطَّيِّبَاتِ, يعني الأشياء النافعة. Allah has made permissible for you الطَّيِّبَاتِ. What is intended by the طَيِّبَاتِ is the beneficial of things. So all things that are beneficial are lawful for you. All things that are beneficial are lawful for you to benefit from and to use and to take advantage of in this worldly life, except where there is an evidence clarifying that it's forbidden. Except where there's an evidence clarifying that it's forbidden. So if somebody has this thobe on or that thobe on, or he has this shirt on or that shirt on, or he eats this food or that food, and someone comes and says that's haram and not allowed, who has to bring the proof? The one who's claiming that it's impermissible. Why? Because it's from the customs, it's from the worldly affairs, and the origin with regards to these worldly affairs is that it's permissible and lawful. This is contrary to the ibadah. On the other hand, the ibadah, the salaf, ajma' al-salaf ala anna al-asl fi al-ibadat al-tawqif wal-hadhar. The salaf, they have a consensus that the origin, the fundamental principle with regards to actions of worship is that it's not allowed and that they're forbidden except with the evidence. So now, on the other hand, if someone is going to perform an action of worship and then we tell him that's not lawful and he says bring a proof, what do we say? You have to bring a proof. With regards to actions of worship, if you're going to perform them, the one who is going to perform them, he has to bring the proof. So because the origin is you cannot do them, that they're not lawful, it's not allowed. It's not allowed for you to claim to worship Allah however you like. Before this reason, He created the heavens and the earth, and for this reason, He revealed revelation, and for this reason, He sent prophets and messengers. And the seal of them is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there sent with guidance to clarify how to worship Allah. So worshiping Allah is not left up to the people to figure it out how they like and to do it as they please or according to what they think is good. Rather, there is guidance that has come on how to perform the actions of worship that we're created for. So therefore, the fundamental principle with regards to actions of worship is that they're not lawful. They're not lawful except within evidence. You cannot seek nearness to Allah except in the manner clarified in the law and legislation revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah, He mentioned ordering His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِكُمُ اللَّهُ. Say to them, O Muhammad, if you truly love Allah, then follow me and Allah will love you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, He mentioned, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدُّ. Whoever does a deed not in accordance to our fare, then it will be rejected. وَمَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدٌّ. And whoever innovates into this religion of ours that which is not from it, then it will be rejected. So the origin with regards to the actions of worship, things that are ascribed to the religion, is that there must be evidence or proof, or else it will be rejected. So now if somebody is celebrating a birthday, or if they're doing any other action of worship, raising their hands and calling on Allah in congregation, or spinning around in the masjid, or who and the likes like this, and you tell them, that's not lawful, that's not allowed. Why are you doing that? Taqillah. Fear Allah. And he says, bring a proof. What do you say? You're going to go search for a proof? You're going to go ask the sheikh? You're going to go search on Google and try to find the proof that it's not allowed to spin around in the masjid? Or that it's not allowed to and move your head like this? Or that it's not allowed to celebrate the birthday? You have to go search for a proof to refute this person? Do you? No, you don't have to. You just advise them and tell them to fear Allah Azza wa Jal. And clarify that, the principle for them. The fundamental principle in Islam is that actions of worship, they must be in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, this is the very meaning of the shahada, that you testify that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the one who's going to perform an action of worship, he has to bring their proof. You understand this? The one who's going to perform a worldly act, an action of custom, like eating and drinking and driving down the road, huh? Does he have to bring a proof? No, who has to bring a proof here? If somebody claims that it's not allowed. We understand these two points here. We have the adat and the ibadat. Al-asl fi al-adat al-ibaha wal-bay' min adat. The fundamental principle with regards to the customs and worldly affairs is that they're lawful. And buying and selling is from the worldly affairs. From this aspect then, we see that buying and selling is lawful. Buying and selling is lawful. So this is from the evidence of that. As for the actions of worship, then the origin with regards to that is that it's not lawful. It's not allowed except to worship Allah in a manner that He's pleased with, according to the sunnah of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a great benefit here of learning the asl of something, learning the fundamental principle with regards to this. So now we see the fundamental principle with regards to buying and selling, or even more general, the fundamental principle with regards to the customs. And we learned the fundamental principle with regards to the worship. And this is going to help us in our life in a great manner. Alhamdulillah. Dealing with ourselves and our family first and foremost, and likewise in dealing with the people. Many people, whenever they tell him, you tell them you can't celebrate the birthday, and they say, oh, what's the proof? They'll go running around looking and researching and asking, and they're wasting their time. The person who claims that, he's the one who has to bring the proof. Or if somebody is doing a business trade, and somebody says, oh, you can't do that, that's haram, you can't sell that, brother, then you tell him, what's the evidence? And if he doesn't have any evidence, so you bring the evidence. What's the proof you can do it? And then he's going to go looking for a proof. You're wasting your time. You don't have to look for a proof. The fundamental principle is it's lawful. So if somebody says it's not lawful, they have to bring the evidence. Also, from the benefits of learning the asl, learning the fundamental principle, and the base in a particular issue, is that by memorizing that and understanding that, this saves you the effort of having to memorize every single issue. So instead of having to, for example, memorize that selling chicken is lawful, and selling beef is lawful, and selling food is lawful, and selling clothes is lawful, and selling cars is lawful, and selling this is lawful, and selling that is lawful, and selling this, instead of having to memorize all these different issues that maybe have different rulings, you just memorize the principle. Huh? You memorize the principle. And then whenever a person comes to you, can I sell? I got some fish. Can I sell it? Huh? You don't have to memorize the issue, the principle. Or so I have a book, can I sell it? All of these different individual issues, if you were to spend time to study them in detail and to memorize all of them, it would take a long time. And it'd be very difficult. It'd be very difficult. But by memorizing the principle, this suffices you from having to go to all of these individual issues, because now that you know the fundamental principle, and when these individual issues occur, you know the ruling. You know the ruling, because this one goes back to this principle. This one goes back to this principle. You understand? So by memorizing and understanding the principle and the issue, this saves you from having to memorize and go through the details of every individual issue. Of every individual issue. Because these individual issues, they go back to this principle. These individual issues, they go back to this principle. These individual issues, they go back to this principle. Like this. So to try to memorize all of these individual issues is going to be very difficult and time consuming. So to save that time and that effort, you memorize the principle and you learn that and understand it. And then as you move through life, those individual circumstances arise up, you apply them to the principle that is specific for that issue. So this is a great benefit. So for this reason, you find the people of knowledge mentioning principles. All the time we're studying the hadith. Well, so there's a principle in this, there's a fundamental in this. And the principles in fiqh, al-qawa'id al-fiqhiyya, are from the most beneficial principles to learn and to understand and to memorize and to benefit from. And from them, the likes of the Safir. And from them, the likes of the Safir specific to the issue of al-buyur. Also, whenever the people of knowledge, they say al-aslu, for example here, al-aslu fil bay al-ibaha. The original principle with regards to buying and selling is that it's lawful. This also is an indication that when you hear this now, you also feel or understand that there are other aspects that are contrary to that asl. So when you say the origin in the buying and selling is that it's permissible. So this is an indication that there are things that are contrary to that origin. There are certain issues that are contrary to that origin, that are not included in that ruling. So this is the fundamental principle. And by saying that, it gives the idea that there are issues that are contrary to that and not in application to that fundamental principle. Meaning that there are actions of buying and selling and trading that's haram and not allowed. This is understood from the statement, al-aslu fil bay'i al-ibaha. Al-aslu fil bay'i al-ibaha. So whenever the people of knowledge, they mention this, then this is from the benefits that you will obtain and you will gain from hearing this one statement, al-asl. Al-asl fi kada wa kada. This and that. The original principle in this issue is halal. The original principle in this issue is haram. Al-asl fi akl al-mayta tahrim. The origin in eating the flesh of the dead is that haram. So this also gives you the idea that in certain circumstances could be halal. We understand that from the term al-asl. Al-asl. You understand? So this is from the benefits the people of knowledge, they mention with regards to this. And from those who discuss these issues in our days in great detail and in the most facilitated and easy manner is our teacher, Sheikh Sulaiman al-Ruhaili, hafidhahullah ta'ala. And many of these benefits are from different works that he has with regards to the issues of fiqh. Yani, and he has works about explaining the books of fiqh in general, like Dalil al-Talib. He has explanation of Bulugh al-Maram, the Kitab al-Buyu'. Also, he has other dawrat and seminars that he has done with regards to Qawa'id. Qawa'id al-Buyu' al-Mu'asara, Qawa'id al-Riba, and Qawa'id al-Usul al-Buyu'. He has a number of different works. Some of them have been printed and some of them are in audio form. And the brothers and sisters, they should benefit from that. And this is another benefit for those who learn the Arabic language. So even if a person is not able to travel overseas and sit with the scholars, if he learns the Arabic language, he can benefit in a great manner. If he has guidance and insight on the proper sources and how to benefit from those sources, and the methodology of the people of knowledge and the students of knowledge and learning, he can still benefit in a great manner here in America while he's in his house and in his home, or while he's riding in his vehicle and the likes like this. But he needs the key. He needs the key, and the key is the Arabic language. It's not going to suffice a person from going overseas and seeking knowledge at the feet of the scholars and from taking knowledge from the lips of the scholars. No, from the mouths of the scholars. No, this is the fundamental principle. Hadha wal asl. Hadha wal asl. This is the foundation. But a person, maybe he's not able to. maybe he's not able to, or maybe he's not able to spend a lot of time doing that. Maybe if he was able to, it's only a brief period. So alhamdulillah, ma la yudraku kulluhu la yutraku julluhu. So a person, he will still be able to benefit, and this is the point. So even if he can't go overseas, if he just learned the Arabic language and became fluent in that, for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, he can still benefit. He can still benefit, although it's not the same. It's the next best thing. And it's a great, great, great benefit to be able to listen to the people of knowledge and to hear their statements and benefit from their classes, whether they're live or whether they're recorded. So the principle that we're discussing this evening, al-aslu fil bay'i al-ibaha, the fundamental principle with regards to buying and selling, is that it is lawful, that it is permissible, that it is allowed. Al-ibaha, al-ibaha. The people of knowledge, they mention al-ibaha lughatan al-idhar. Al-idhar, to call baha fulanun bisirrihi, ay adharahu. The word al-ibaha, al-ibaha, which means permissibility, or something that is allowed. Linguistically, in the Arabic language, it means al-idhar, to show something. So the one, he will say baha fulanun bisirrihi, yani adharahu. Yani so-and-so, he exposed his secret, or he had revealed his secret. So this is from the meaning of that. Also, it has the meaning of an idhin. Al-ibaha, yani al-idhin, wal-itlaq. Al-idhin, to call abahtu laka an taqra' fi kitabi. Abahtu laka, yani adhintu laka. I allow you to read in my book, to read my book. So the word ibaha, it has the meaning of idhin. Idhin, to give permission. To give permission and to allow. And then the terminology of the scholars in fiqh, they say, here, al-idhnu bil-fi'li wal-tarki ala haddin sawa. Ala haddin sawa. That al-ibaha huwa al-idhnu bil-fi'li aw al-tark, and it's the permissibility to do something or to leave it, ala haddin sawa, yani equally. You can do it or you can leave it as you like. It's something that's permissible. Buying, selling is permissible. You can do it if you like, and you can not get involved if you like. If you like, it's allowed either way, equally. Like, for example, eating chicken is mubah. It's mubah. So therefore, you can eat chicken if you like to, and if you don't like to, you don't have to eat chicken. It's all the same. Someone cannot say, oh, I'll get closer to Allah than you because I'm eating chicken. And somebody else cannot say, oh, I'm getting closer to Allah than you because I'm not eating chicken. Like this, it's the same. This is from the mubahat. You understand the issue. This is the mubahat. The issues that are lawful and permissible, meaning any fiha al-idhnu bil-fi'li wa tarki ala haddin sawa. That it's allowed to perform it or to leave it equally. One of them is not preferred over the other. This is the lawful affairs. This is the lawful affairs. And what is the origin with regards to the worldly affairs? Al-ibaha. That is lawful for you to perform it and to get involved into it, in it, or partake in it, or to leave it as you like. So this is the word ibaha. So the origin, that asl fil bay' and buying and selling, al-ibaha, that is allowed for you. It's permissible and lawful, alhamdulillah. And the evidence for this, there are many of them. We have discussed some of them before. And from that is a statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, wa halla Allahu al-bay'. Wa halla Allahu al-bay'. Wa harrama al-riba. And Allah has made buying and selling permissible. And Allah has declared buying and selling permissible. And Allah has allowed buying and selling and has forbidden al-riba, and has forbidden al-riba, and has come in Sunan Ibn Majah from the Haditha Abi Sa'id radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, innama al-bay'u an taradhin, that buying and selling is only based upon mutual agreement. Only based upon mutual agreement. An indication that every transaction that occurs with mutual agreement from both parties is lawful, except that which has been clarified otherwise. This is from the great conditions of the correctness of buying and selling, that it will be considered lawfully correct. Any is that it will be antaradhin, any that it will occur with mutual agreement from each other. In this condition, inshallah, we discuss the details of that in the classes to come. Also, it has been narrated in the number of narrations that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he himself, he would buy and trade. He would buy and sell. He would buy and sell, and this is something that is known, indicating that it's lawful and permissible. And also the companions radiallahu anhum, they used to buy and sell in the markets, and this is something that is known. And it is not reported that they were returned back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask them about every trade and transaction. Rather, the origin that they understood is that it's all lawful. So all of these are evidences clarifying the principle that buying and selling is lawful. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.